into episode 6 of Trail Talk SA. G'day, my name's Brad Brown. Thank you for taking the time to download and listen to this trail running podcast aimed specifically at the South African trail running market. Really chuffed to have a guest that we had on first episode here on Trail Talk SA. We spoke to him exclusively about what he was hoping to achieve at the Leadville 100 miler. Well, he has returned. It wasn't as successful as Ryan Sands would have hoped, but we sort of picked that performance apart and try and figure out what went wrong with Ryan and the lessons that he's going to take out of it. I also asked him sort of how long it takes him to recover from a 100 miler. And I was actually quite surprised at his answer, to be honest. The man is an absolute machine. And then also on this week's show, we talk sky running with the founder and chairman of the South African Sky Running Association, James Hallett. That's coming up. And then we also touch base with Robin Hyde from Modern Athlete to let you know exactly what's coming up in this month's Modern Athlete from a trail runner's perspective. Don't forget as well, if you'd like to be in touch, you can tweet us at Trail Talk SA. You can also like our Facebook page. Just head over to facebook.com/trailtalksa or pop me an email, podcast@trailtalksa.co.za. We're getting some great reviews on iTunes as well, if you'll keep those coming. If you do download this podcast through the iTunes platform, it'll just take you a couple of seconds, and it helps us spread the word about this podcast to as many people as possible, because essentially that's the only way we grow, is through word of mouth. And if you enjoy the content, I would really, really enjoy it and really appreciate it if you wouldn't mind helping spread the word. So without further ado, let's get straight into our first guest this week. We chat to Ryan Sands. We chatted to him, it seems like, just the other day here on Trail Talk SA with regards to his upcoming trip to Leadville to take on the Leadville 100 miler. And it's awesome to have him back on the show once again this week. Ryan Sands, welcome back to SA. How's things going?
Yeah, thanks for having me back on the show. Yeah, feeling a lot better than what I did during the race. Obviously, the race didn't go according to plan for me. I had a bit of a fall on the trail 2 weeks before the race, and compressed my spine a little bit and pulled the vertebra out of alignment, and causing the back and flex it to flare up quite a bit. So, unfortunately, I had to drop out of the race at 50 miles, which was really disappointing, not the result I hoped for. But, just kind of looking forward now and hoping to get strong again and as I said, like move on from the Leadville setback.
Yeah, Ryan, I mean, we chatted before the race and you were pretty amped. And I mean, I was tracking you online and all of a sudden when I had heard that you had pulled out, I mean, I was gutted, but I'm sure it was nowhere close to the disappointment that you were feeling. And you mentioned that you had a fall a couple of weeks before the race. And going into the race, you were a bit nervous. You had back spasms at 50 miles. How tough is it to make that decision that, you know what, I need to walk away from this, that I can probably carry on, but I'm risking doing some serious long-term damage, and maybe it's time to call it quits and come back and fight another day? How hard is that decision?
Yeah, it's probably one of the hardest decisions I've had to make in my life. To be honest, if I thought I had half a chance to actually finish, I think I would have gone for it. But I was getting really bad spasms. I was basically having to walk, and I was kind of hobbling on the downhill, and I still had to kind of turn around and go back over Hope Pass and down the other side. So I had my doubts whether I'd even make it back over Hope Pass. But it is a really tough decision. I think for me, in my mind, I've always been like, when you start something, you finish it no matter what. But I don't think I would have finished it. And even as you say, like the decision, you don't want to do serious damage to yourself either. Like this is my career, but it's a tough decision. I suppose you walk away kind of with your kind of head between your legs and you feel like a loser or a quitter for giving up. So it has been really tough. Especially the few setbacks I had leading up to the race. I've had really good luck, up until kind of, May this year, and then after that kind of I've had a couple of bad runs, but I suppose that's nice. You get the good and the bad, and I'm hoping in a couple of years times I'll look back at this experience and actually realize that I can, or that I've actually learned a lot about it. So for me, I'm just trying to kind of not beat myself up too much about it and try and look forward and see where I can improve.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about learning lessons. I don't know if it's the same for you, but for me, like, I tend to learn a hell of a lot from the runs that don't go that well or according to plan than maybe the ones that go exactly the way you hope them to. I mean, the lessons that you've learned out of this, what are you going to take out of this setback?
Yeah, for sure. I think you definitely, when things are going well, you don't think about things too much. So, yeah, I think I have learned a lot about this, learned a lot about myself, and probably just some of the things that you just like kind of appreciate it when things are going well and kind of really savor those moments. I think when things are going well, you're kind of always looking forward and you kind of want more, in a sense, almost kind of being a bit greedy. So I think for me, it just kind of makes me realize that to actually really appreciate the achievements that I've made in the past. And, also, I think there are a couple of things I can take out of my preparation and stuff. But I think it's more that I've been unlucky in the past few races than any kind of doing anything wrong in my preparation, I'd like to think. So I think another lesson, I don't want to kind of obviously definitely take stuff out of the race, but also don't want to kind of cross and analyze it too much and kind of try and overthink it too much. I think, I think it's dangerous to overanalyze things and everything happens for a reason. So for me, it's about trying to just really focus on the present and move forward.
Yeah, and it's also one of those things, Ryan, that, I mean, 100-miler is a long way to go, and so much can happen. I think that's also one of the things that people don't realize is that it's not a 10K. There's tons that goes into it, and there's also tons that can go wrong on the day or go right, for that matter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm chuffed that you're sort of taking it this way in your stride, and you said you haven't had the greatest of run of late, but, I hope that you do turn things around. As far as the injury goes, how's that looking?
It's looking a lot better, obviously. Been kind of working with my support team over the past week, and I've made some good progress. I think where it spasmed, it obviously spasmed quite badly, so just kind of working on that, getting my back a lot straighter, and obviously everything's tightened up in my back. But I think in a couple of days I should be good, as long as I don't try and push too hard. So I think obviously there's a tendency kind of I want to jump straight back into racing again, and I think a few days ago I had plans about heading back to the States to do another 100-miler, but I think kind of sanity is kicking in, and I realize I've just got to kind of take a step back and just make sure I'm 100%, and also like mentally just freshen up. Obviously, the Leadville and the Western States were two really big setbacks for me, so I've taken a bit of a knock mentally, probably my confidence a bit, so just trying to freshen up a bit. I had a couple of good runs since I've been back, just a bit shorter, and just kind of getting back to my roots and running for the enjoy of it, and just kind of getting up into Table Mountain and enjoying the views and stopping to take a couple of pictures and not worrying about any specific training for a race. So, that's the plan for the moment. Got a couple of races in mind, but also, as I said, like, I don't want to rush into it, so I'll kind of think it over for a couple of few more days and then take it from there.
Ryan, one of the things I wanted to ask you is, I mean, 100-miler has got to take it out of you physically. How long would you typically take to recover? I mean, from a race, I mean, let's not use Leadville as an example, because that's sort of out of the ordinary where you've picked up an injury, but on a race, 100-miler that you would race really hard that perhaps you've won, how long does it take you to sort of get back where you're sort of starting to feel normal again?
Yeah, I think it depends. Obviously, my first 100-mile I did was Leadville. That took me kind of 2 weeks to feel semi-normal again, but then it's still probably another 6 weeks to actually kind of, but like the stiffness and the soreness were out of my legs within 10 days to 2 weeks, but your legs feel so flat for the next couple of weeks afterwards. Another race like Western States, I seem to recover a bit quicker. So I think that the more you do, probably the quicker you recover, but I still think, kind of probably sore for about a week to 10 days afterwards for me now on current 100 miles, but it takes another 4 to 6 weeks to kind of fully regain and feel kind of normal again. But I think it also depends on the race. Some races seem to affect you more than others. I think it's how hard you got to push in those end kind of final miles that really can take it out of you.
Okay. And then I'm gonna put you on the spot a bit. You said you're not sort of haven't decided on what races or anything you want to do yet. But a couple of weeks ago, I chatted to the guys from the Otter Trail Run, and they were saying that some of the field that they've got AJ coming down, and they were saying you were going to be there, but you're not running. What are the chances of you running this thing now?
I'll give it some more thought over the next few days. I might actually be, there's a chance I could be in Europe over those days. So I'll say, but obviously the Otters probably my favorite race in South Africa, one of my favorite races. I'd definitely love to be back. I don't know if it'll be this year. I definitely want to make sure I'm 100% fit and ready. I think I took a bit out my body with kind of the level setback also mentally. So I definitely want to come back strong and be mentally fresh. I'd say I might be there. I don't know if I'll be racing, but I'll give it some more thought over the next few days and take it from there. But looks like Otter's going to be a really exciting race this year with guys like Ricky Lightfoot there from the UK. I think I'll definitely put some money on him for the win.
Cool. Never say never. So there we go. Ryan Sands, thank you so much for chatting to us again. Really do appreciate it. And please be in touch and let us know when you have made a decision what you're going to do next. We'd love to sort of let folks know here what you're going to be up to and how they can sort of track your progress.
Cool. Great. Thanks. I've got some exciting project next year, so I kind of don't want to rush into anything too quickly this year and kind of make sure I'm 100%.
Sounds brilliant. We'll keep us informed and we'll keep everyone else
Thanks.
Informed. Appreciate the time. Once again, Ryan, take care, mate.
Thank you. Ciao, bye.
Our next guest here on Trail Talk SA this week is the founder and chairman of the South African Sky Running Association. What is sky running, you ask? Well, we'll get into that in a bit more detail as well. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome James Hallett on the show. James, before we get into anything about sky running, tell me a little bit about the South African Sky Running Association. When was it founded?
When was it? August 2011. Actually, post doing an article on the sky running, the International Sky Running Federation, which I can talk a little bit more about in a bit, but we did an article in GoTrail about the ISF, the International Sky Running Federation, and I got quite connected with the sport and the appeal of the sport as it currently stands. And I mean, this is a sport that's, when I say a sport, sky running is obviously a defined genre of the greater off-road running, the sport of off-road running. So there certainly is a very much a definition around, what sky running is and where it came from. And interestingly, it's not new in terms of its definition. It was founded or sort of, I would think maybe stumbled upon, if the guy did manage to fall down the mountain would be a way of putting it, but was stumbled upon in the early 90s by an Italian man. His name was Marino Giacometti, and he currently is the overall man in charge of the International Sky Running Federation. He's been obviously at it for the last, 22 years, developing the sport and working hard at making sure that it goes in a way that, or grows in a way that is really true to what skyrunning is all about. We did this article in 2011, and it was just kind of really appealing to me in terms of what it meant to be part of the skyrunning community. So I kind of undertook and did an exercise on finding out how we as South Africa could join the International Sky Running Federation, and it was actually back then quite a simple process. It was a case of just filling in the forms, paying over a membership fee as an associate member, filling various roles on the General Assembly, the International Sky Running Federation General Assembly, and then obviously beginning the promotional phase of introducing skyrunning to the South African running community. But interestingly, back then there was actually, I wouldn't say resistance was the word. It was more just a kind of, there was just this total lack of knowledge around what skyrunning really was. Of course, there's events in South Africa which refer to skyrunning or a sky run, but these events aren't, part and parcel of the actual overall skyrunning sport as it currently stands through the International Skyrunning Federation. So a lot of people were kind of a little bit, you know, they didn't really understand what it was all about, and you know, it made the job quite difficult. In fact, the first sort of 12 to 18 months of my role as the chairman of SASA, the South African Skyrunning Association, was to really kind of try and educate people, you know, bring in a lot of information or as much information as I can, as I could, through, you know, like the likes of GoTrail and various other platforms, just to encourage people to sort of understand where, you know, the origins of the sport and what it was all about. But more specifically, I think just educate people on what skyrunning stands for. And of course, there's a variety of criteria that define the sport. As you can imagine, skyrunning definitely referencing running high up in the clouds, and on exposed peaks and things like that. So there's a very specific criteria that the ISF have developed over the last 22 years to get to these multiple definitions which they have of the different disciplines that they've created within skyrunning. For example, the sky marathon or the ultra sky marathon or the vertical kilometer, the sky race, the sky trail. So they have a variety of different disciplines, and all of those meet certain criteria. So it was a case of just, you know, trying to get people to understand that and obviously then build upon that. And it was a kind of a catch-22 scenario, because to have a sort of credible or currently, you know, operating national circuit, as we would call it, we would need events that would A, fit the criteria, and then B, be willing to join the Skyrunning Association and meet various criteria. They're obviously obligated to follow those criteria, but meet those criteria and then promote the event, not only as a trail running event, because that's the beauty of skyrunning. It does incorporate you know, multiple trail running events, but obviously these are trail running events which go up to certain altitude and have a certain vertical gain over their distance. So yeah, it was quite a specific thing, and you know, the catch 22 came with the scenario that we needed the events, or we need the events. We need a minimum of 3 events to actually host a national annual skyrunning circuit championship. And currently, actually, the good news is that we already have 2 in 2013, the Matrosburg Sky Marathon, which is part of the Matrosburg Trail Challenge, and the Lesotho Ultra Trail. These two events already make up part of the skyrunning circuit, and as soon as we get a third on board, this is a little silent pitch, as you know, Brad. but as we get a third and obviously more onto the circuit and recognized as skyrunning disciplines, we're then able to create a national circuit and have runners compete in a minimum of 3 of these events and ultimately be crowned the annual South African skyrunning champion.
It sounds fascinating. I mean, you talk about that criteria and that as well, and you mentioned that there were races here that sort of considered themselves skyrunning, but they didn't fall into that criteria. Could you touch basically, I mean, you said there was a skyrunning marathon, a skyrunning ultra, a vertical kilometer. Can you touch on the sort of basic criteria of what it takes to become a certified sort of skyrun?
Well, basically, you know, you're looking at specifics in terms, as I mentioned earlier, specifics in terms of altitude, where the race actually takes place, or at what height or at what altitude the race actually takes place, as well as the vertical gain, meaning the climbing that you're going to be doing across the route profile, and then, of course, the distance. And the distance is probably the most key, well, when it comes to the specific criteria or the specific definitions that the International Skyrunning Federation have put forward. The distance obviously then determines the brand name, as so to speak, in terms of the what the actual race gets defined as. So, for example, a Sky Marathon is any race that's within a minimum of 2,000 meters of total elevation gain. And it's in the distance of between 30 to 40 kilometers. So it's not your true marathon in terms of what a marathon definition is by the IAAF, for example, but they've termed it a sky marathon, and they've given a kilometer range, a distance range of between 30 to 42 kilometers. Then you've got an ultra sky marathon, which is similar criteria in terms of elevation gain and altitude, but what they've done there is they've said, well, this is a sky marathon, or this is a defined skyrunning discipline that is 5% or more of a sky marathon, meaning, you know, the distance is obviously slightly longer with a little bit more climbing.
Okay, fantastic. And then you spoke about the two that we've got in South Africa already, Matrosburg and the Lesotho. How are we looking for possibly number 3 and number 4? Is there anything on the cards at the moment?
There is, you know, there's actually quite a large scope of races that exist on the calendar currently, and of course, event organizers who are pretty well settled in terms of what they do, who, you know, they can explore and are exploring the opportunities of you know, doing some high altitude running. So, you know, we're obviously quite limited in terms of our landscape here in South Africa, because there's although we do have quite a vast area that does exceed 2,000 meters of altitude or more, that it's still quite limiting in terms of, you know, actually getting to, you know, the accessibility of these places, not only from a roads perspective in terms of getting out there and traveling out there, but also there are some quite stringent sort of environmental issues, or not issues, but you know, environmental bodies who really protect these areas. I'm just referencing the Drakensberg, for example, who is most of the Drakensberg is basically maintained by the KZN Wildlife Isimvelo, and of course they don't promote anything that's kind of event orientated in these areas. So it does obviously limit the areas that we're able to access. But again, it's opening up some really great doors, because event organizers are able to use the Skyrunning platform, you know, through the association and through the link directly to the International Skyrunning Federation, to promote, you know, the opportunity of creating skyrunning disciplines in these various regions. You know, it's a great opportunity to promote areas where there are, you know, tourism-related things that you know, those specific areas are trying to attract. And of course, the ultimate goal, and it was actually my ultimate goal with creating the South African Skyrunning Association, was to generate the interest between the international skyrunning, trail running, mountain running, off-road running community in South Africa's trail running, off-road running, skyrunning community. You know, it was such a great opportunity, because it is such an established network. You know, it gives this great opportunity to get these international guys down here to experience these races. Of course, that doesn't detract from what current event organizers are doing that are not associated with the Skyrunning Association and host other events. I mean, it's really taking place where a lot more international guys are, you know, willing to travel out here and experience races. But this is just another really great platform. And event organizers are slowly kind of coming around to the idea and exploring the opportunities. In fact, the organizer of the Lesotho Ultra Trail, Andrew Booth from KZN Trail Running here in KwaZulu-Natal, he's actually exploring a potential Sky Marathon. And the guys from the Matrosberg Trail Challenge, they're exploring a couple of route variations to have actually a Sky Marathon and potentially a vertical kilometer and maybe even an ultra Sky Marathon. So, that, you know, it's the guys who come with an open mind that I think will benefit the most, and again, ultimately the runner will benefit, because there'll be just this new and exciting circuit and ultimately a platform that they can test themselves against themselves and other runners.
Brilliant. Tell me a little bit about this vertical kilometer. It sounds fascinating.
Yeah, the vertical kilometer is quite an interesting one, and quite a lung buster at that. It's basically a race that takes place over a distance not longer than 5 kilometers, but the criteria within that is that you have to climb 1,000 meters within that distance. So, it's something that, you know, we don't have a lot of variety when it comes to places in South Africa where we're able to, in 5 kilometers, climb from either sea level to 1,000 meters, or 1,000 meters to 2,000 meters, or even 2,000 to 3,000 meters. So it is quite a limiting race option. And the other problem is with this kind of a race option is that with it comes quite a stringent sort of runner protection, so to speak. You know, the event organizer really needs to be cognizant of what goes into creating a vertical kilometer route, specifically with regards to the dangers of climbing 1,000 meters over a 5K, you know, 5K distance, where often guys are going to be, you know, on hands and knees, clambering up the sides of almost, you know, straight up steep cliff faces, or well, not cliff faces, but you know, very steep inclines. So it's a very dynamic, very interesting concept to the racing. And often what you'll find is in Europe, for example, a vertical kilometer will precede an ultra sky marathon or a sky marathon, and you know, these guys, the event organizers, what they'll do there is they'll create kind of a, in inverted commas, a festival of sky running, where they'll have on the Friday a vertical kilometer, on the Saturday a sky marathon or a sky race, and then on the Sunday over to the Monday they'll have an ultra sky marathon. You know, so they'll actually create these different disciplines. But of course, it doesn't mean that an athlete will be able to arrive on the Friday, do the vertical kilometer on the Friday, and then get through the Saturday as well as the Sunday. Obviously, yeah. You'll have to pick and choose. But quite an interesting and quite an exciting concept.
That actually does sound quite cool. And then, James, for people who want to find out more about sky running, where can they go?
Of course, well, for the South African Sky Running Association and all that we stand for, in terms of, you know, our constitution and what we're aiming to do locally, that's a pretty simple one: skyrunning.co.za, www.skyrunning.co.za. And for the bigger picture and for the global sky running platform, the only port of call there is www.skyrunning.com, which is the International Sky Running Federation official website. And you can also follow us on Twitter, which is Skyrunning SA, and also on Facebook, which is facebook.com/Skyrunning SA.
Cool. James, what I'll do is I'll pop all those links on our website as well, so that if people are listening to this, they can just go straight through from the show notes for this episode to those websites as well. It sounds amazing, and I know Skyrunning is huge overseas, and yeah, let's hope we can get a few more races here in SA and get that circuit on and crown a national Skyrunning champion.
Yeah, it would be pretty cool. I think the trail runners out there here, and especially here in South Africa, are very in tune with what's going on globally, and more so, becoming more so in tune with what's going on. And skyrunning has definitely become part of that bigger picture. So yeah, let's hope there's a lot more aspirant guys out there, and we can get them racing for the clouds, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. James Haller, thank you so much for chatting to us today.
Pleasure. Thanks a lot, Brad.
As we do every single month here on Trail Talk SA, we catch up with the folks down at Modern Athlete to find out what's in the magazine from a trail running perspective. And it's a big month this month for Modern Athlete, celebrating their 50th edition. And it's a pleasure to welcome back onto the show sales manager Robin Hyde. Robin, welcome onto Trail Talk SA again.
Brad, good morning. Nice to be back with you.
Awesome, man. 50th edition. That's a biggie. What's in the mag this month from a trail running perspective?
Brad, it is a biggie for us. We're all very, very proud of it. Indeed, 50th edition. As far as trail goes, in the September issue, Great Trails of SA, as usual, brought to you by Kayway. We look at the Ngwenya in Mpumalanga, the story at Pix by Jacques Marais. Of course, he is the author of the Trail Runner's Guide. So there's something quite nice to look out for. We also feature the 2013 Spur Cape Winter Trail Series. That's been followed and backed quite extensively, so look out for that one. And then there's an article entitled Proudly SAFA, where we cover the two World Championship trail events, which took place recently in Wales and in Poland, where we had a South African squad over there. So a nice read for the trail folk. And wrapping things up on the trail scene, Rhino Runners. Nedbank Save the Rhino Trail Run. That was held at the Interbeni Big Five Game Reserve back in July. So nice, exciting trail news and trail stories for our readers, Brad.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, that World Champs in Wales, I actually, funnily enough, caught up with Lundy Hreiling here a couple of weeks ago on Trail Talk SA and spoke extensively about that too. So, yeah, it sounded like an amazing championship. Lundy had a great run. And, yeah, I look forward to reading that article to find out how the rest of the guys and girls went.
A really nice read and some nice accompanying photographs, Brad.
Awesome. Robin Hyde from Modern Athlete, thanks again for your time, and we'll catch up with you in a month from now.
Cheers, Brad. Take care.
Well, that's a wrap for this week's show on Trail Talk SA. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, if you wouldn't mind helping me spread the word, if your trail running mates might appreciate this or enjoy a listen, if you wouldn't mind forwarding the links and perhaps just giving us a review or a like on Facebook or perhaps a tweet as well, if you wouldn't mind, at Trail Talk SA. I love hearing from you as well. Keep the tweets coming. Let me know your thoughts. If there's people you want me to interview or someone you would like us to chat to, you can also pop those onto our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/trailtalksa. Or you could pop me an email, podcast@trailtalksa. From myself, Brad Brown, until next week, have yourself a brilliant one. And just a quick teaser on what's happening next week. I chat to the winner of the 2013 Atacama Crossing, all the way from Santiago in Chile. Really looking forward to that. And yeah, that's coming up on episode 7 of Trail Talk SA. So from myself, Brad Brown, have yourself a great week, and we'll chat then. Cheers. Bye.